All right, man. Yo, what's good? You rocking with the Money Fiends. It's your boy, Mac. And we got Mikey and a special guest on Zoom. First time doing a remote podcast. So we're really excited to bring this to you all. Overall, we got a great brother on the podcast with us today, a real hustler, a real Money Fiend. And we really want to go through his journey and, you know, see some of his trials and tribulations, and as well as what he got planned for the future. So without further ado, I'm going to have my brother come on and introduce himself. So Larry, you got the floor, bro. Introduce yourself to the people. Let them know where they can find you, and then let's get it rocking.
Let's get it. What's going on, everybody? I'm rocking with the Money Fiend, first of all. And this is Larry Hall of Fame. You can find me on all digital media and social media platforms at Larry Hall of Fame. Or you could go to LarryHallOfFame.com and all clickable links are available for Android, iOS, any kind of phone link, anything right there.
Definitely, Brody. Definitely, Brody. Well, you're a multi-talented brother. You know what I'm saying? You got a lot of different hustles, bro. And were you always having that mindset, or is that something that was developed over time?
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. Like, it was crazy. So, like, I became an entrepreneur when I was young as shit on some accidental shit. Like, so coming up, it was real unstable, like moving around and shit a whole lot. My pops weren't around. So my mom had got with her now husband, my stepdad, probably when I was about like 9, 10. And at the time he was just a painting and carpentry kind of guy. And I noticed when in the summer times when he was doing his own jobs and like some referral work and stuff, the work was really good. Shit was good. We always had money. Shit was good. One of the time when people were in the house and not really spending a lot of money on extra stuff other than holidays and families, he was having to go work for other companies and stuff like that. And like make odds meet, you know what I'm saying? You gotta get it how you live it. So I respect it, but like just noticing that early on, I'm like, man, a couple little tweaks and doing this for yourself, you can really make it sweet for you, you know, 12 months a year. Like if we could have lived how we live, you know, May through July, May through August, all throughout the year, we probably wouldn't even be having this conversation right now.
Word, buddy. Nah, I feel that it's seeing that see the opportunity overall and really attacking it. So what are some of the different ventures you got going on right now? Share those with the people.
So right now, you know, obviously we got Smooth Cuts, LLC, that's going on. First barbershop opened back in 2016 in Towson. That's been going on, established, still going on. We got the Hall of Fame ENT, that's getting pushed right now. We're working on the short films and a lot of the cinematic videos that y'all see. We're working on my debut album that we're dropping October 25th on my 25th birthday. So we're getting the photo shoots and stuff together for the cover. And the track list is pretty much already done. It's going to be like 22, 25 songs, intros, outros, full concept. And we're doing a full PR push with this through a big publicist guy that I met not long ago. So this is gonna be my first time working with him. So it's my first big release. So that's what we working on right now. Exotic Frenchies in the works. We got HOF Kennels. You know, we got some Lilies, January 2020. You know what I mean? It's just a hustle every day, dog. You know, on the road, trying to make every dollar I can, trying to make the best of all our times. We about to hit the road now. We vlogging all week. I got a saying that you like on a podcast and shit, so having an agenda for tomorrow, seeing what it is and shit. So I'm gonna post it online and let everybody know and stuff. So we headed to LA for that. We vlogging that. We got a big studio session and showing Mikey around LA, introducing to some people and stuff.
That's dope, bro. What made you make the jump to LA, bro? Was there like a specific opportunity or you just had the vibes out there were what you needed?
When I moved from North Carolina to Maryland, I had always traveled a lot and I moved around a lot because I got family all over, especially as like a teenager, adult kind of like before I established roots, I was traveling around a lot of places. And every time I went to LA, it felt like I was so productive. Like the most I was able to get done, best songs, best music videos, just everything. And like the only bad thing that came with it was like the cost of living. That was it. But like if you're a hustler and you know what I'm saying, you can put a couple dollars together, that you'll figure it out. I feel like the good outweighs the bad. It's so much more opportunity for growth. I mean, you got all of those people right there, all of those rich counties, so much like financial literacy from like Southern California to the Bay Area, like right there, that's like financial moguls like playground. You know what I mean? Like Silicon Valley to Southern California, even like San Diego. And then I like being on the West Coast because it's more centrally located. Like, for example, we live in like, I call it like a big triangle from D.C. to Philadelphia to New York City. Baltimore falls right in the middle, being 3 hours, 3.5 south of New York, hour and a half, 2 hours west, east of Philly, and, you know, hour north of D.C. Other than that, next big city that you're going to is somewhere in the Midwest, which I feel I personally didn't travel to that much. or like you getting on a extended long overpriced flight to Miami or Atlanta, and after you do that 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times in college, who most people did for spring break and shit, it's not really much, you know what I mean? That's like a glamour, a party lifestyle city, which LA has that too. New York City does too, but I think like New York and LA, you can get a little bit more business done, especially entertainment wise. Like for what we trying to do, you just rub shoulders with the right people and meet a whole lot more people and connect a lot of dots, like even down to like my production team for like my videos and like my PR people and like people that run my, I'm learning the last few months how to run effective ad campaigns and draw traffic to like video release and stuff. This is stuff that I'm learning on the fly. A lot of these rappers need to really listen to that, because you sit around waiting for stuff that's just not realistic. We've all, you know what I mean? Anybody that's ever caught a buzz or any ever made any noise doing anything in music, you're gonna get opportunities thrown to you. But you gotta understand that people, when they give you opportunity, depending on the leverage that you have when they give it to you, is gonna determine how much security and how much of the deal you have. It in the entertainment industry, first and foremost, for all y'all rappers listening, is a business. You need to handle your business before it's ever business to handle. Because one thing you don't want to do when the money gets there is have other people in control of it. That's why it's so important. I'm not going to give you the whole Russ and J. Cole prototypical own your masters and stuff. Them dudes blew in 2010, 2008. And if they had to put that same content out today that they did back then, there's no way they could catch a rhythm or a groove. It's impossible. 2015, it was 50,000 songs a year, like ever, getting on iTunes. And now it's about 400,000 songs a month. You know what I mean? Every 3, 4 weeks, 400,000 artists putting music out. It's just like a small fish in a big pond. So nowadays, it pays more to be rememberable than talented. And it sounds funny to say that, but it's a pay-per-click world. Everything is pay-per-view, pay-per-click. So I'm sorry if you're basing your fan base on being the greatest talent in the world. It's a lot of talented people out here in the world. And I'm not saying you should not be talented, but make sure you're handling your business just as much as you're handling your craft and your talent, because that's just as important. And if you're not one of those people that claim to be book smart or savvy, get you together $500, $750 and get you an entertainment lawyer before you ever sign any contract. You know what I mean? Get you one that's not in business with somebody that's looking out for themselves too. Like, don't take a contract lawyer from the person that's giving you the contract. Hire your own so they're in it for your best interest and get the best possible deal you can. But other than that, in the meantime, grind every day and carry everything. Every song is a big piece. Every visual needs to be as good as you can make it. Nothing is perfect, but take your time and do it that way. And I'm following my own advice. I ain't nobody to give nobody advice, but I've been following a little bit, and it's been giving me a little bit of success. And success follows too. These same principles and stuff that I'm taking and doing it myself in music is the stuff that I did when I was playing sports, stuff I did when I opened business, and stuff that I did when I built relationships with people. And it's just like good morale, just good things to do by and live by, and you'll probably consistently more times than not have a result that you're looking for.
1,000, bro. You just dropped a lot of heat on the pod, and I know that's going to add a lot of value to a lot of people's careers overall. One point that you mentioned, bro, was leverage. Like, how do you, in situations, determine the leverage that you do have? That's something like I'm big on, too, is like understanding the power you have in different situations.
Facts, because if Lil Baby walk into 10 label meetings and Larry Hall of Fame walk into 10 label meetings, that's a completely different contract. If all of them got numbers in the envelope is closed and they got in their mind what they're going to pay him, but he come in over that, you best believe it's going to be a negotiation. But you're only valued as much as people invest in you. It's in sports and music and anything. It's like in sports, you look at like a first-round draft pick quarterback, Josh Rosen, couldn't get it right in Arizona, couldn't get it right in Miami. Dude going to be in the NFL 9, 10 years, be a marginal, you know, backup kind of guy, because of what they invested in him, a first-round pick the first time, then they traded a second for him. But like a guy that's like a middle-round, fifth-round quarterback that catches on for a year or two, Gardner Minshew last year, balling out, still ended up throwing Nick Foles back in it when they clearly saw he was better, but because he was a fifth-round pick that was on a rookie contract, they didn't value him that much. Threw Nick Foles back in, he was garbage, pulled him and realized that was the guy all along. Why did they have to do that? He was healthy. He was able to play. It's just leverage. What people invested in you, and I can't be mad at it. If I got $88 million, $89 million or $100 million on my bench sitting in quarterbacks or rappers or whatever, and 98, 99 of it is for one of them, you best believe I'm going to try to get my return on that other one. So that's why leverage is so important because a lot of people just rushing the deals and rushing the stuff without taking it. I could have signed to a major over a year ago, and the money wouldn't have changed my life that they were offering me. The opportunities, because of the limited resources they were investing into me, probably would have been limited. And then I would have had limited access to even control over my own music. So it's good to be in a position of leverage where I didn't need that quick little couple of dollars. And I was able to say, you know what? I'm still going to move out west. I'm going to grab a spot until this COVID shit clear over in Arizona. And I go back and forth in L.A. as I need to. Like I said, we're going to L.A. tomorrow. It's a 3-4 hour flight. Catch round trip for $80. That's another thing I like about living on the West Coast. The cities I freaking are L.A., the Bay, Houston, Dallas, places I can get to on a flight in an hour, hour and a half from here for less than $150. You could call me and say, I need you in Dallas at 5 o'clock. It's 1:17 right now. I could be there for $200 and be there. Wherever we need to be at, it's not a lot of places in the world you could do that from. I feel like I need to come to Eastside with you. But right now, it's so where I am in my personal life that I'm rocking with the West Coast.
Word. No, I feel that, bro. I feel that. I actually just did a month out in San Diego, and the West Coast is definitely a different beast. It's just more momentum there, honestly. Like, there's just more opportunity, more open mindsets, and it's just the ability to get things done. So I'm definitely glad that you made that move, bro, and excited to see how you build upon that. We're going to get into the first question that we ask all of our guests. The method behind this question is we're going to have a bookshelf in our studio. So when you travel back to Maryland, you know what I'm saying, to handle some business, we're going to have you in the studio for a follow-up interview, and we're going to have all the books, favorite books of our guests on the shelf, and you're going to come through, sign it, you know what I'm saying, words of encouragement, so other guests can come and look and, you know, see what Larry Hall of Fame likes to read, things like that, bro. So I want to ask you, what's your favorite book and why?
Favorite book of all time?
Yes, indeed.
Mikey asked me the same thing the other day. So is this in regards to business and life or just in general?
We could do both, bro. All the sauce you got for us, we'll take, bro.
For sure. Well, business-wise, I'll say, since me and Mikey talked about it, I went and read a little bit of this book called Rich Dad that one of my friends gave to me. And I'm actually in the middle of it. And it's such a crazy, like, just a refreshing breath of fresh air, like getting a new perspective on that. And then, like, now I told you I got my own kid on the way. So, like, now I've had to take a different hat off before when I went from a barber to a barbershop owner. Now I have to, you know, I can't worry about how busy my chair is. I have to worry about how many people I can get in this front door. And it stops being about you and it's about the business. And I'm preparing on that journey to do it again with my girl and my kid. And I'm excited for it, but it's definitely different. And we in like this easy culture where everybody wants to make everything seem easy. I'm gonna be realistic with people when people say it's so harsh, but nothing in this world is easy. Whoever listening to this, if you want something, you gonna expect to cry for it at night, gonna expect some sleepless nights. It's gonna be hard, but it's gonna be worth it in the end. And that's what's gonna make it that much more worth it, because you worked so hard for it. It's hard to value anything you didn't have to literally and physically work for, literally, because you can't value something, a loss that you didn't pay for. And whether that be in time, whether that be in spirit, whether that be in emotion or physical dollar or combination of any, you have to pay in some way, shape or form. And all relationships are good to be equally beneficial. I told Mikey this the other day. I'm going to say it again now, too. I want to use in any business relationship I'm in, because I want to know that you got something to lose, I got something to lose. That way, I'm not worried about losing sleep at night. That's where risk comes in. Risk comes in with non-communication. Risk comes in with greed. Risk comes in with people not being on the same page. If you got something to lose, I got something to lose, and we're generally, casually, every day, like, going at our dreams and attacking our goals and being creative, whether you ever hit your goals or not, it will be impossible that you don't grow. So don't ever compare what you're doing and what you got going on to anybody else, because if you ever reach that height or not or pass it, it still don't affect them, and your life only is affected by what you're going to get out what you put in. So don't let these rappers and these Instagram influencers and these people online make you think you're supposed to have it all together by the time you're super, super young. And if you do, and if it seemed that way, then that's fine. But don't bash other people. Because it's hard. All the boomers used up all the resources. All the boomers that we're in nowadays, they spoke knowledge on everybody without really, you know what I mean, giving them a breath of fresh air, putting a battery in their mouth. Something's like, why don't you go to college, get a degree, and do something else? It's the same way people push entrepreneurship on people nowadays. Oh, you could make this amount of money. You could do this, and this could end up big. And you got a whole world of girls on the internet, on OnlyFans, and dudes trying to blow up. They don't even have a story or anything worth talking about. That's me. The regard is, if you're going to do something, give it your all. Do it because you love it, and it's because something you want to do. And do it to the best of your abilities. Definitely.
All right, bro. I lost you for a second, but we got it. Looks like we got it back. Let me know if you can hear me. All right, cool.
You back in here with me?
Yes, sir. I'm glad. Yeah. Oh, bro. When it cut off, I was like, oh, the recording, bro. My heart started racing. I was like, but it's cool. We can always, you know what I'm saying, run it back too. But yeah, bro. No, I feel you, bro. You're dropping some sauce, bro. I'm not going to lie. You got me fired up right now. But that's how you can tell you're real passionate about what you're doing, bro. Like, it's not just trying things just to do them. It's really something you care about. And you know, from the Money Fiends perspective, that's something we're super passionate about. You know what I'm saying? We're looking to do another 100 interviews before the year is over. Like, we're really trying to push it and get the voices out of people who are hearing right. Like you, bro. Like, a lot of people want to play games and only interview famous people or like jock ride and stuff. It's like, we know people right now that are heating up. So we definitely want to extend that gratitude to you, bro, for jumping on the pod, bro.
Thanks. And that's how you do it. It's like you grow with them.
Exactly. It's family. It's a family vibe. It's not solo. You feel me? But yeah, bro, I'm going to get into the next question for you. Or do you still have the second book, the non-business book as well for us? Too hard. Don't stand too close. I'm about to drown off this wave. Yo, I got
Let's go. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. You got me?
Bet. Yes.
All right, bet. So you mentioned you had another favorite book that was not along the business lines. You want to share that with the people as well?
Oh, it broke up. Yeah, no. I was saying like anything along the lines of like Remember the Titans or like Friday Night Lights, like football movies, like biopics that show like a strong coach or team overcome. That's the kind of shit I was into because I always watched them as books, as movies.
Word, bro. I feel that now. Friday Night Lights used to be my zone, bro. I used to watch it every Thursday before Friday games. It's just love, bro. But that's what's up, bro. We got another question that we ask all of our guests. You know what I'm saying? If we were to give you $1,000 right now, bro, what would you do to invest it and what would be your first action with it?
Say that last part again.
I said, if we were to invest $1,000 into you right now, what would be your first move with that thousand?
$1,000 to me, I would probably, that's about monthly ad budget that I try to break down and spend over like all my cameras. So that would probably, I would probably just put that on top of what I already do. So promoting four platforms at one time. I do Instagram as four of them at one time. Recently, I would start out $10. Can you hear me now?
All right, I'm back with you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
All right, I said if you put $1,000 into me right now, that's probably about what I spend like on some ads or something like that. So I would probably break it down over like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Google Ads. And I would start promoting four videos, one a week, and all at the same time. But, like, I would do the most recent one, $10 a day across each platform. So just say whichever one I dropped last week, $10 on Instagram, $10 on YouTube, $10 on Twitter, $10 on Facebook, Instagram, too, both of them, whichever one I didn't say. And then the second one from last week would be $8 a day. The one from the week before that would be $6 a day. The one the week before that, four, two, and then zero. And each week when you drop a new video, you push one to the next slot. So you keep your budget consistent like that, so you're consistently tracking growth.
Bro, I feel that, and that's like, this is honestly one of the topics that I really want you to throw a little bit more free sauce out here, bro. Because I feel like a lot of people have, their ego gets in the way of them paying for that promotion and advertisement, bro. And can you explain how important that is to your growth and, you know, getting out to new ears and eyes to be able to grow your brand?
All right, so let me explain this in the business world for all your artists out there listening. Your Instagram page is your resume, right? It's not for your friends and family. It's not for you to post too personal stuff. It's not for your personal problems. It's not for nothing else. You should make artists, you should have your video posts, professional videos. Posts should be at least every other. So you can have one post in between, mixtape covers, digital graphics, photos of yourself, whatever. Photos need to be professional for the most part. But if you need something just consistently, okay, I get it. But pretty much 70, 80% of your material should be professional. All of your day-to-day stuff increases your engagement by stories. That's why Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook created stories. You post throughout the day and keep people so they can follow along with your life on your story. And the reference for that is your page. So keep your posts minimum. And I don't mean like don't post enough. I mean like if you have only 16, 25 posts on your page, which you should keep a fresh start. Don't keep no 2,000, 3,000 posts on your page. Use the archive feature. Just archive. You could bring some back, take some back, put it back like that. So you're keeping your best work first. So when people, you're drawing that traffic. The thing about it is people think you're just going to put a song out and it's going to blow because the song is so great. If you ain't noticed, Drake just dropped a video yesterday with Nike, half of the NFL All-Pro team. And every blog in the world is posting it. That's payola. As big as he is, it's payola. You still have to create a buzz. As big as Jada Kiss, Nas, DMX, any of those old guys, we all know who they are. We all know who their music is and all of that. But they're not relevant right now. They couldn't go sell out 15,000 seat tours as headliners by themselves. So, like, you're only as relevant as your last hit. So it's always good to be putting your best foot forward unless you are established. This is strictly for up-and-coming artists because people don't know you. When you're running these ads, you need new traffic coming to your page. Your fans and family and people that were watching you and supporting you before you started doing what you're doing are not your fans. Your job is to gain new fans that are attracted and invite them to what you're doing. So that's where retargeting the ads come in. That if you're not using your metrics and slimming down your cost per listener, cost per customer, each time you run your ad marketing campaigns, it's not effective. The only way to do it consistently is to set a budget that you can afford to do month to month, not 1 month when you got a lot of money and 1 month when you don't know. What can you afford a month, whether it's 100 or 1,000? Whatever it is, break it down over 30 days because if you only put on Monday and Tuesday, what about the people that only get on Instagram Wednesday and Thursday? You want to keep yourself in the bubble of the highest percent of chance for this ad to reach who it needs to reach. So, you know what I mean? We have some ad campaigns that are ran in like a 30-mile radius. So we have these like little cards that I have with QR codes and like name, real cool flyer and stuff, little small square postcard, 3D graphics, and real professional. And I print out 10,000 of them at a time. We got them made and we put them out around here. We shoot a lot of videos around here and shoot and put ads on local areas like around here. So that's a strategy. So then people, it's like you run it on four platforms, you hit it with them with some physicals, and they see you around too and hear some of your songs. It's like first step, second step, third step, re-engaging, getting them to re-engage. It's like you swipe off Instagram, get on Facebook, see the same thing or another video. You're running 3-4 at one time. It's like if I put $1,000 on one video, or if I take that $1,000 and put, what is it? Just say the way I just did it, $10 a day, that's $70 a week. That's $280 a month. $8 a day, that's what's that? 8 by 7, 49, 56. So that's roughly 224. So you're probably talking about $1,000 a month, $1,200, maybe $1,400 a month is a realistic budget to track growth as an artist. And a lot of artists will go spend $800, $1,000 on an outfit for a $500 video. And it doesn't make sense to me because you can put concept and thought behind your videos. Look at what's winning right now. It's not but so many ways you can be a cool guy in front of a camera. You have to give people cinema photography. You have to give people like
visual. They have to, I'm at the point now when I make some songs, I make songs not as bops, I make them for videos because I know once the video comes out and it connects with that story with people, they're gonna see it whole differently. It's a spinoff of like how Ludacris used to do. People will say DaBaby, but it goes way back further than that. Think of like Ludacris with like the old videos with the big heads and the dogs with the big heads. It's interactive and it's mature, but it's not offensive. So it's good enough for any audience. You know, you can be the baby on the radio talking about ready to beat a nigga up like I'm the Rock, pistol on my hip like I'm, you know what I mean? Because when you say it in a fun way and the video is more funny than harmful, you got a banger with some radio connections. But if you're a street cat and all your money is put in your image, you ain't got no marketing, you got no concepts behind your visuals, good luck. The only way you ever gonna pop off is if somebody in your hood or one of your homeboys pop off. I mean, you keep looking at Lil Durk, Lil Baby, and them. A lot of these dudes is riding waves of rappers and they homeboys. I mean, you can literally count back steps on each rapper that blew because of somebody in their clique before them. And it's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying if you're not in that, and it's also a whole new era of rappers and people, and like and the whole metric for getting a fan changes. Everything changes. The world used to change every 5 years, 10 years. But with technology, it's like every 18, 24 months now. If you're not ahead of the curve, you behind.
1,000, bro. You just gave out a hella free sauce, bro. Like, I thank you greatly, bro, because that's gonna change somebody's entire perspective. And you know, we're gonna see somebody that looks back in 10 years and be like, how'd you get that perspective? And about Larry Hall of Fame told me on the Money Fiend podcast. I just happened to stumble across it because they were both choosing to invest in themselves, which allowed them both to grow together as a family feel, yes, and support each other to the top, bro. So we appreciate you doing that. And we definitely going to change some lives with that, bro. That being said, you know, COVID, hopefully this wraps up, you know, pretty soon. If you got to like December 31st and you look back at the last 6 months of this year, where do you want to be as looking back? Like what goals you got and what launch points do you want to be at?
So when we talk in December again, cause I'm all about love. And I told everybody I'm rocking with the money thing. Like I said that. So we definitely going to do this in person. And hopefully we both in different places. But in 6 months from now, I told y'all I want to put my album out. I want to have no less than a video out every 2 weeks. I want to drop at least one more mixtape or like EP type. If I give them my album in October, I want to give 6-8. I want to give them like a real hard mixtape. Like, oh, they say the old Larry Hall. Like, I want to give them one more. You know what I'm saying? And then everything from that point, it months for me. So I'm gonna give them one more before that. And this album is crazy, man. I feel like no bias. I've ever said this about my own music or anything. I don't work blow and blow up because I'm more taking slow approach to things because I understand realistic. And anybody in the slow approach and skips a step at the bottom without falling ain't complaining. And everything is all business. That's how it is in business into family type things. So long as people practice good business models, be emotional, world full of logic. The world doesn't go off of emotion. The world is off of logic. The president and people in positions of power are put in those positions. They're put in those positions to use their mind and their bravery in moments where it's needed because of that. Because they have to make this where sometimes it's going to affect a lot of people in a good way, but the downside is probably going to affect people that way. I mean, that's the way the world is. And we've known it's been that way since we've been kids. So, like, a lot of people sit around and make more complaints than doing it for themselves. I don't understand it, you know what I mean? Like, my parents weren't together. My dad wasn't around. Came around Friday to project. My mom finished college, and then we ended up moving to a decent place when I was in, like, 10th grade. But I moved out at 17. You know what I mean? Like, if everything I've ever had, good, bad, good in my life, pretty much has came from things that I've done. And, like, you would be a fool as an adult, at least as a male especially, to not want to have some kind of control over your life. And if you're in a position right now where you don't have control over your life, anybody that's listening to that, it's not to be taking, like, a shot at you or talking down on you, whether you're 25, 35, 45, 55. Because as long as you make a conscious effort today that enough is enough, it ain't going to be like this no more, and you put a real plan of action together and you execute, your life is not going to be like that much longer. If you broke but you got hope and you got hustle, you really, really, really got more than you think you do. You know what I mean?
1,000, bro. Those things are all free, bro.
You know what I mean? So you're listening. You listen.
All right, bro. I lost you for a second.
So, yeah, I was saying that. Yeah, like you said, that stuff's all free, man. And we're trying to other resources and stuff. A lot of young people do really clear your contact and your own resources, because it's super hard to be resourceful when people don't know you. So, like, resource is not reaching out to someone that doesn't know you. That's being resourceful. But a resource is someone that you can tap out to, and they can reach out to someone, or someone you can reach out to. So really, really, when you're looking at things, like, gather your resources. Think about life like being in the wilderness. Everything that you want to reach and everybody you know is your lifeline to survive.
Nah, it's still recording. All right, bro. Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, bro, I can hear you. We gonna wrap because we got like 1 minute left on the Zoom. So with that being said, bro, we definitely want to thank you for jumping on. And we about to connect with you again quickly. You're our first Zoom interview. So, you know, a little technical difficulty, but at the same time, the energy is going to be felt. And we can always, you know, get to it at a later time and recheck back in with you soon, Brody. But with that being said, you want to give any last shout outs? Again, the project's coming on 10/25 on 25th birthday. So we're looking forward to that, bro. Congratulations on becoming a father, and we wish you the best on that. And you know, the Money Fiends got your back when it comes to that as well. So we just look forward to your growth, Brody. But any last words you got for the people?
Shout out to the Money Fiends. Shout out to the Money Fiends. Shout out to the Money Fiends. Shout out to anybody rocking with me and everybody that's supporting me on the Money Fiend. You know what I'm saying? I'm rocking with you, and I appreciate y'all. And appreciate y'all for having me on here, bro.
Most definitely, bro. Well, we look forward to having you on here many more times. And with that being said, you're rocking with the Money Fiends, and we out.